Hey out there, everybody. Welcome to Caffeination 149er. This is July 22nd, 2007. You are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We'd like to welcome all of our new listeners, all the people who've subscribed or found our show for the very first time. We'd also like to welcome back all of our returning listeners, everybody who's continued to make this show what it is today. We'd just like to thank you for sticking around. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. If you'd like to find out how to get to the Caffeination Podcast, should somebody have given you the wonderful gift of this MP3, or you found it on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find us at www.caffeination.com. If you'd like to comment on the show, give us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our direction, you can do that to caffeination@gmail.com. A phone number you can use to reach us, direct to voicemail line, is 215-240-1319. Skype ID is CAFFI-NATION, and homing pigeon, well, you can just figure that out on your own. Alright, we'd just like to give you a quick rundown for today's show. We have a lot of stuff that we'd like to get in, and we're trying to make this a brief edition as compared to the last one. I realize whenever I'm on camera, I tend to take a little bit extra time explaining some things, and I really don't need to do that all the time, so I'd just like to kind of give you a good, succinct, wonderful audio edition here, and we'll continue doing our Wednesday editions and hopefully expand that a little bit, but we always request for people to send us in, what do you think's working, what would you rather we not do? One of the things that we saw another podcast do that we actually were considering trying on our show is actually having an open question and answer period live on Ustream.tv before we did the show. And that way we would not actually use Ustream.tv to do the show itself. So after the live question and answer period was open and, we'd talk about a couple little, articles or something we read in tech, and then we might continue on to the show, or we might still do a live show, but still it wouldn't be as centric around the video portion after the open question and answer period. Don't know if that'll work. If that's something you think you might be interested in, please drop us a line, caffeination@gmail.com. All right. Like we were saying, here's the rundown for today's show. The rundown, or whatever we consider on today's show, is just a bunch of topics we're going to touch ever so lightly on, possibly throughout the show. We're going to be talking about Hello Kitty, squirrels, robots, hand prosthesis, Harry Potter, GPS spying, CIA kitties, green flushing technology, and the freshest coffee that I have ever had. Now, if any of that piqued your interest, you're probably going to want to listen to the rest of the show, but first off, I guess we'd just like to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for the Caffeination. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. That's web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anybody, anywhere, with any time, without ever having to leave your office or spring for lunch. Not only do you end up saving a whole bucket of time, but a bunch of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd just like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring the show. It's been a rather banner year here at the Caffeination. Things have taken off in a wonderful and fun new direction, so we'd just like to thank them for being a part of that, and thank you all there out there for being a part of it as well. And we'd also like to introduce you to the next component of the Caffeination. We'd like to announce the musical accompaniment for today's show will be provided, as usually, by the PodSafe Music Network. That's music.podshow.com. And we have a little lovely band we're going to give you a shot at. It's called Rediscover, and they have their rather grooving tune called Shake It. It's kind of like a little pop punk kind of thing going on, but we hope you'll enjoy that. If you head on over to thecaffeination.com, you can actually check out the direct link to the band's website if you find them an enjoyable listen, and we hope you do. That would be purevolume.com/rediscover. Again, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. This is the band Rediscover with their song Shaken. We'll be right back.
touch and you feel like leaving. Now shake it like you mean it. Now fake it like I've seen it. Now come on, baby, shake it like you mean it. Now take it. I won't hurt you unless you want me to.
Again, that was Rediscover and their song Shake It. I mistakenly called it Shaking or something like that at the beginning of the right before I announced the song. Well, again, that was a fun little tune from Rediscover and the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So hope everybody enjoyed that. We find it kind of fun, kind of a rocking, like I said, little pop punk kind of thing going on. So hopefully everybody's enjoying their weekend. It's been a relatively good weekend so far here at the Caffeination headquarters. The wife, I, and the boy, I actually went out to a flea market on Saturday morning, nice on the bright, as some people say. Then we went out to Peddler's Village, a local kind of quaint area for discount shopping, novelty shopping, any kind of, it's just like a giant community surrounded by shopping stuff. So it was kind of fun. They have like a little park in the middle of it, a gazebo, ice cream, whole nine yards. It was just good times to be had by all. So it was pretty fun. The only downside to this entire thing was on Friday, the boy actually received his very first black eye by accidentally falling over several times in a row, apparently, and kind of clocked his face on an end table a little bit, or a coffee table a little bit, and Yeah, so we were getting a lot of disapproving looks from people. It's like, yes, I beat my child. I'm incredibly sorry that you had to see this. I don't know what people are thinking. I mean, and these are obviously people that have had their own children. I mean, the kind of reaction that I want, I actually got from some of my neighbors. It was Friday night. A bunch of the guys were hanging out across the street, so Paul was still up. Hey, he doesn't get to see the kids out there very often. So I picked him up, walked him across the street, and said hi to the guys, and they're like, oh, hey, ooh, coffee table? I mean, now these are parents. These are guys that have recently raised children. And, like, the horrified looks that we were getting from some of the people that are out there, it's you really wonder, like, okay, I just have a question for you. Did you raise your child, or did you have a nanny there? Did you, like, foam pad the entire house? I mean, has your child ever been hurt? I mean, not that I wish anything bad on the boy, but, I mean, kids are going to be kids. He's going to get into things. He's going to, unfortunately, injure himself, and hopefully he'll learn not to do that in the future. So it's all part of the growing process. They don't come out walking. They don't come out everything operating correctly. So just a little irritating, some of the looks and things that people were shooting us. So, you know, hey, it's all good. But just had to get that off my chest a little bit. That's one of the really good things about running a podcast like this. It's kind of free form, rather. And yeah, every once in a while, if you have something on your chest, you just blow off steam, you know. But all right, we have a fun show lined up for you today. We already did the rundown, so no need to tell you what all the good stuff was. We did, however, want to let you know that, again, the easiest ways to contact us are either via email at caffeination@gmail.com or through our grandcentral.com voicemail link, and that's 215-240-1319. You can click to call in if you're in the continental United States, and the button that's on our homepage, or you can just dial that number from pretty much anywhere, and it'll connect you direct to voicemail. It's kind of fun. All right, we have a bunch of tech tidbits lined up for you today, so we figure we might as well dive right into them. The first tech tidbit that we actually have is, we like to label that Hello Kitty madness. Apparently in 2004, Hello Kitty, the company that actually creates it, I'm not really sure which company it is, and it's really bad, and I really don't ever want to know that much about Hello Kitty. I already know way too much about it. I can pick it out of a crowd, so to speak. But apparently they had a original sales figure for a Hello Kitty robot, and they said, okay, this is around what it's going to cost. Now, 50% in addition to that, so apparently the final price when this thing starts selling relatively shortly is going to be $6,300. Yes, $6,300 for a robot cat. This cat better watch my children. It better do my wash. There better be a hot meal on the dinner table when I come home. I mean, it does have kind of interesting stuff on it. I mean, but nothing's more interesting than having the $6,300 in my pocket rather than buying this. It has stereo webcams, so apparently it's a, you know, there's two webcams that actually operate in unison. It has several different degrees of articulation. It can actually stand up. It can recognize different expressions on kids' face. It can calculate distance to different things, and I suppose toddle towards them. Yeah, it. But you know what? Like I said, unless this thing's going to start cooking dinner for me, there's no way I would ever consider spending that kind of money on there. Just wanted to put that out there. It was just one of those crazy stories where you come across and you think, you know, this isn't really the standard fare here at the Caffeination, but we still want to put that out there anyway. Secondly, there's a rather irritating and pervasive set of mobile ads that are all over the United States media, at least that I've seen. It's called Amped Mobile. It's like, where you at? That's their tagline, their slogan. Apparently, they're not going to be anywhere very shortly. They're going to be leaving all of their customers out in the cold. They say unceremoniously they sent out a text message earlier today. So if you're in Amped Mobile, you probably already know this and you don't need me to tell you. But as of Tuesday, that would be the 24th of July, 2007, at 12:01, they're going to cut the service. Yeah, that's right. You're just going to be SOL. You're going to be completely and utterly out in the cold. Yes, it's all the pay-as-you-go thing, and I know there's going to be a class-action lawsuit, because seriously, if it's pay-as-you-go and or prepay wireless and you have prepaid in a certain amount, they owe you that amount of service or that money back, as the way I understand it. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens in there, but you know, it's just one of those crazy things that it was like, I can't believe that a company would still do this kind of thing. They do have some questions linked up on over their websites. It says, is it going out of business? Potentially suspending U.S. operations as of July 24th. How long will customer service be provided? Customer service will not be available after July 23rd. Will Amped Mobile be bought by another carrier? They're currently in says, so it says, can I take my new phone? Yes, if your carrier uses the CDMA technology, so pretty much any choice as long as it's Verizon if you're in the U.S. Then they have a bunch of other questions about what happens to your minutes. They say you're pretty much... Oh my God! I should have read this a little bit before that, but it pretty much you're out in the cold. The new contract will not honor your existing Amped Mobile minutes because it's a new carrier, but it's just craziness over there. So I really feel for anybody out there who has Amped Mobile. I mean, this is almost as bad as that story that broke a little while ago. If you were a frequent user of the Sprint hotline, you know, the technical support for Sprint, then you better watch out because they are cutting service to people who abuse the helpline. Now, you know, I don't think there's any precedent for that in the technology industry. So that would just you could extrapolate that to be, okay, this student came into me, you know, being a working stiff at a university. This student came into me and had to have his account unlocked 4 times in 1 week. He was having just a forgetful week. Yeah, well, you know what? We're just going to discontinue service to you. You need a little bit too much help, and we'd like to spend the time for the students who actually have their stuff together there. So, yes, it's just one of those things where you sit there and go, man, how can you actually treat your customers like this and expect to do business? The fun part about that little equation is that since Amped Mobile is going out of business, they don't have to care about that anymore. So again, just wanted to put that out there, let you know about it. Next crazy thing we found out there is actually Squirrely Menace. We have for those of you not in the know, and maybe a lot of you might not know, we actually have an issue with squirrels here at the Caffeination. Not particularly any kind of squirrel, just I have a problem personally as with squirrels. The university where I work at has a population of inner city fat squirrels, which you don't find very often because for some reason the inner city squirrels usually a little bit less fed, but these fat squirrels are no less ravenous than their skinnier brethren in the rest of the inner city. So they will actually walk right up onto your leg. If you're eating a hamburger with fries, they will walk right up onto your leg, steal some of your fries, and run off. They have no fear. So they also take up residence in some of the trees and actually throw acorns and other bits of stuff that they find in the trees down. I guess they find it funny, so I wrote an article a while ago, completely tongue-in-cheek, saying that we needed to start something called the North American Squirrel Disarmament Task Force. And it was back when I was a member of a couple different bulletin boards, and actually we had a couple European members, so I had to create graphics for them for the European Squirrel Disarmament Task Force, and then the Worldwide Squirrel Disarmament Task Force. So I might update that again, because apparently the Iranian police have found GPS-equipped spy squirrels. Yes, the squirrels had surgically implanted GPS units. I don't know what... They said they had 14 squirrels were recently captured and had spy gear, quote-unquote, for foreign agencies in their bodies. Now, I don't know if that means that they accidentally consumed a microchip or something, or if they were, like, surgically altered, you know, beeping, and their tail was, like, sticking straight out with a little curly-cue antenna at the end of it. But it just got me thinking. There was actually one of those other stories linked up. not how scary it would be if squirrels actually did decide to start networking and, you know, use their ad hoc radios and some of their less fortunate brethren to actually communicate worldwide, and how much trouble we would be in if that were to happen, that unfortunate set of circumstances. But I have two links up to there, and it's just each squirrel, which weighed approximately 700 grams, they apparently were released around the country for intelligence and espionage purposes. I guess the United States or whoever else was looking into this whole espionage angle was really interested in the population of oak trees there, maybe. By the way, for those of you not in the know, oak trees create acorns, which squirrels stereotypically seem to enjoy. Found out that I've had to explain myself a little bit more often than I thought I would. Every once in a while, somebody just completely blanks out, and those little reminders have been found to be helpful. So I got to thinking, like, what other kind of animals have been used in wartime, and I got to thinking about the very infamous tank dogs used by the Russian military in World War II, I believe it was. It was kind of tragic if you're an animal lover. The Russians actually trained dogs to search under tanks for food. So basically every day they came out, the dogs would be fed under a tank. Then they would be starved, have a bomb strapped to them with a tiny little switch. The dog would crawl under an enemy tank and boom, on the battlefield. Unfortunately, the dog would not survive to fight another day at this point. However, there was one small and major problem that they did encounter from time to time. The dogs did tend to differentiate between Russian tanks and German tanks, being that there were no German tanks to teach them to be fed under. They developed a preference to feed under the Russian tanks. So they would run out, look around, the German tanks would be firing at them, and they would run back under the Russian tanks, and equally delivering their nasty payload there. There's a couple different instances. Of course, you have the ubiquitous homing pigeons, and then there was one that really caught my eye. It's actually called the acoustic kitty. During the Cold War, there was a cat that actually went under a surgeon's knife done by the CIA in the United States, and was outfitted with transmitting gear and audio surveillance, and it cost over $10 million, which at the time was a staggering amount of money. It's still a staggering amount of money, but I mean, it doesn't hold the same sway as it did back then, I guess. So it's calculated out. It's probably roughly like $1 billion. I mean, hey, we pay that for a jet. That'd be easy right now if they were to try it. It was unsuccessful at first because they found that the cat would get bored and go into a different room, so it wouldn't stay near the pertinent conversations. And the other thing that they found out was it was basically incredibly and horribly cruel. So just one of those kind of crazy fun things. They actually have links up there to insects and a whole bunch of other different things that were used in wartime and espionage cases. So it's kind of fun to sit there and play around with some of those links, so enjoy them. Those are all listed over at caffeination.com, by the way. Okay. Another thing we've actually commented on recently, but the stories are actually starting to gain legs. It says, kids today, email is just so dead. Basically, they interviewed a whole bunch of up-and-coming teens in the tech world. Now, these are teens that have either host their own podcast or started up companies. I mean, some of these kids are like 14 to 17 starting their own internet companies and doing quite well. What the heck am I doing wrong here? I'm 27 and no success like that. I need a really fresh idea. But all right, self-flagellation aside, they actually are talking about teens and the ubiquitous text message first and foremost. And then they're also talking about, oh no, I didn't email you, I MySpaced or Facebooked you. Now, a lot of my friends will do this every once in a while. They say, oh dude, I sent you an email. No, you didn't. I have like 5 email accounts and I check them all fairly regularly. It's like, no, it was on MySpace. Dude, that's not an email. But and I actually on a Friday evening, I actually took the time to actually craft a response to this. And one of the things that I basically came out and said is, I don't think that email is dead. What I think that MySpace and Facebook messages are going to replace is they're going to replace the one-line emails. It's like, you're ready for lunch, you're ready to head home, you want to go out, because they have a notification system surpasses some of the other stuff. It's gonna, you're still gonna conduct business via email. You're still gonna do most of your communicating through email. And I basically boiled it down to a couple different problems. First of all, Facebook is a wonderful platform. If you haven't tried it yet, I would strongly recommend it. It's a fun little platform to work on, and it's a really lightweight web page to load, which if you've ever been on MySpace, which myspace.com/caffeination for our page, it's a really horrible, nasty interface. When you look at it, it's full of spam and viruses and phishers and pedophiles and all the other things that the news media likes to try and frighten you about. You know what? They're right in some of the instances, and it's just such a horribly bloated platform that I can't imagine it staying solvent for very long. But basically, when you have a closed-in platform like that, when you cannot send a message to someone who is not on MySpace from within MySpace, so that requires that everyone that you would ever need to contact be a member of that network. AOL found this out a while ago when they, you know, right before they opened up the instant messenger platform to other parties, you know, for people who didn't have AOL accounts. They kind of figured it out and said, you know what, by building this walled garden, we are limiting the reach of our advertising, we're limiting the reach of just our brand. The brand is becoming very stagnant because it's dealing with the same core group of users. And as soon as you can send a message from MySpace to some other medium, like if you could send it to via SMS to a text message, or if you could send it to an email account for somebody who doesn't have that service, then I believe, you know, it could eventually surpass the level of email. Also, you know, they're saying, oh yeah, you know, kids today, and they're trying to paint pictures of kids as these technological whizzes, and in some cases it is actually true. There are, you know, people of all different ages that come up with bang up products and everything, but the problem that they're focusing on is they say, oh well, you know, the text messages and kids are, or one of the other problems rather that they're focusing on, they say, oh, you know, text messages, if you're not on a phone, then you're not anybody. Okay, now I also understand with text messages, and text messages are going to stick around. They are going to be the next, you know, they're going to be how you get reminders. They're going to be, there's interactive content at concerts with text messages. I mean, they are here to stay. The problem is going to be when you start running into the picture messages and the video messages and stuff like that sent from cell phones, where again, it's a little bit of a walled garden syndrome. You can, at least the last time I checked, you cannot send a picture from one carrier to another yet. I mean, I think you actually have to click on a link and go to a website. And I could be wrong, but for the longest time, people would send me pictures from like a singular network and I wouldn't be able to get it because I'm on Verizon. So it was kind of irritating, but you know, hey. You can read my article. It's over at caffeination.com to see my full take on it. It's a little bit of a ramble at times, a little bit of a rant, but I think it's a well-thought-out conclusion, much more than I can actually babble here at this point. But all right, now next thing we have up here, we're bouncing all over the place. We actually have cheap, ugly lamps. Basically, they're called alter ego lamps. There's one that has a top hat with apparently a martini shaker and a martini, and the other one's a little devil. Now, the devil looks really cool. Now, these things are only $15, and I don't understand exactly how they illuminate other than the giant red bulb, but I mean, they're kind of cute. They're kind of funny. It's just one of those things where I thought it was like, you know what, I'll pass this along because somebody else might find it as interesting as I did upon first glance. To picture what these things accurately look like, imagine a bowling ball with the proper Mr. Potato Head style accoutrements of arms, or arms, nose, the devil's tail for the devil, the top hat for the top hat guy, you know, all that stuff, and raise him about 4 inches, what appears to be 4 inches, off the desk and give him nice big bubbly shoes, and that's what you got. They're kind of, I could see what they were going for, but the really sad thing is, I mean, the top hat guy almost looks a bit like an olive, so if you can imagine an olive with legs, that's pretty much what you got here. Now, the top hat guy is supposed to be black, I'm pretty sure, but apparently the dye sublimation process they used to create the plastic shell was unable to create an accurate version of black, so it looks green. Now, this could possibly be the color they were going for, you know, to directly link it to an olive. Because, I mean, hey, he is holding a shaker and a martini glass. But, you know, so, but I just thought it would pass it along. Thought it's kind of fun. That one's from Gizmodo. Now, the next little fun thing we have here is, yeah, let me see if I'm getting it. How to take the fun completely out of Guitar Hero. Apparently, somebody built a humanoid-style robot, which is basically, it's a mannequin with, it's mannequin with, like, mechanized hands that holds perfectly the Guitar Hero controller with six fingers, of course, so that you, or with five actual fingers so that you can hold all the five buttons as opposed to the fourth finger and the one thumb. And it plugs directly into your PS2, I believe, and then it gets the signals from the PS2 and accurately plays the song in tune. So it would sync up the presses and releases of the pneumatic components of the vehicle, components. It's called the Guitar Heronoid. I don't understand what that means, but it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, I can understand. It's like a really cool DIY project. It's a little do-it-yourself thing that they worked out. It's a wonderful thought for robotics. But, I mean, Guitar Hero is such a fun game, and there's such an element of randomness to playing it. That's almost disappointing to see it debased the way it is here. I mean, this takes all the fun out of it. So now you're going to have this guy putting out all the videos online. Oh, you know, Psychobilly Freakout completed on Expert. The one where there's just like a torrent of notes coming onto the screen, and unless you've practiced quite a long time, you got nothing. All right, next thing we have up here is a fun little earphone product that's coming out of Japan that looks just like a cross between Skittles, M&M, and pastel colors. And apparently they said there was no accident that they did that. They said the inspiration for these things came from little chocolate M&Ms. So they're kind of cool, kind of cute. I wonder exactly how much they are, but there was no link to... No link to the link was actually rather hard to find for it. But hey, you know, no link to exactly what it's going to be. But hey, they're headphones. What do you want, you know? All right, next thing we have up here is Eco Flush, or at least that's what I call it. It's the D-U-H exclamation point, using the sink water to flush your toilet. Now, it's from over at ecogeek.com, so this is sustainable technology style stuff. And they go into a whole bunch of different water reclamation techniques. Now, they're not saying reusing the water from your toilet, but what they're saying is reusing the rinse-off water from your sink to fill your toilet, because there's different classifications. I was unaware of this, and this is like incredibly eye-opening vein for my incredibly eye-opening situation for me to be in. So I'm sitting here, looking at this and learning as I'm going through here. And they say water from sinks that has been used for washing or showers that has been used to wash you off, is called gray water, because there's no human waste product there's no human waste product in it. It's just nasty. It has a little bit of sediments in it, a little bit of other stuff in there. And what they say is water from a toilet, excrement, is actually considered black water. So what they have is actually a small filtration system under the sink which filters out the gray water. So it basically runs enzymes through the water so that there's no contaminants. It's no harmful bacteria or anything like that that's living in it. Then they run it through a filter sheet, then run that into filling your toilet. So as you're sitting there in the morning, and if you happen to leave the nozzle on while you brush your teeth, you're actually pre-loading a bunch of water to flush your toilet at a later date with this other water. Because, I mean, you don't need pristine, clean drinking water to flush your toilet. Because unless you have a dog that's sitting there drinking out of it, there's no need to have that as potable water. You know what I mean? So they said basically around 10 to 20 gallons of fresh water is wasted per day if you have two people using a bathroom with normal activities. Between the water going down the drain from washing your hands, brushing your teeth, whatever else, to the water that's used in addition to the waste product that's getting removed from your bathroom. So this is a way to reclaim that amount of money. Now, that's a significant chunk of change when you work it out towards the end of the cycle there, now, one of the things that somebody in the comments section actually suggested is using the water from the shower. And, same with the filtration process and everything else like that. But they said the shower actually generates a significantly larger amount of water. Now, I think maybe a holding tank somewhere in the house would be a great idea for this kind of stuff, because I'm pretty sure with the amount of showers people take, there is not enough times to flush the toilet to remove this... there's not enough times to flush the toilet in a day with a 2 to 4 people house that would use up the amount of water that you would use in even one shower. Because one shower, apparently in the first 5 minutes, you use something like 13 gallons of water. So this is a great idea for technology. I like it when people bend the rules, when people take a, you know, an outside-the-box kind of approach to things. So it's kind of cool, kind of fun to think about that style of technology. All right, now moving... right along, we actually have our coverage of Harry Potter, the books, you know, the last book which comes out. No spoilers or anything, so don't worry about it. I will say one fun thing. Over at Dig.com, now I have not read the books. I plan to, but I'd never started them. One fun thing over at Dig.com, they actually had an article that was submitted that said, please don't post spoilers to Dig to allow the people who are going to read the book not to learn the secret. And the fun thing is people posted like fake spoilers under it. And the one that caught my eye the most was... it turns out it was actually his sled, as a reference to Citizen's Kane. And that one had like over 400 digs the last time I saw it. But I just thought that was fun, and there's both pro and con comments there. So in the spirit of that, and the fine folks over at... the fine folks over at pointlesswasteoftime.com have created manly do-it-yourself book jackets for free. So basically they've created a series of not safe for children manly style book covers that you can use to cover the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows thing, so that no one will know that you're reading what's basically supposed to be a kid's book. So they have a bunch of nasty ones up there. Some of the ones that are actually capable of being said on here are McDead, a new novel from Hans Roller, author of Harry Slaughter and Muscle Max, Jake Rowland's Death Hall, a thirst for vengeance and a boy becomes a man, Terry Normal and the Land of Absolutely No Wizards or Anything Like That by Salman Rushdie, The Potter, The Deadly Hello, Instrument of Death with a giant tank on the front of it. Now that just looks cool. And of course there's a there's a bunch of other ones that are definitely not able to be said on this one. There's Alcibiades, the zombie executioner, Ari Posner, the Nazi hunter, and Murder at 0 Feet. So there's a whole bunch of them there. And if you're not easily offended by gratuitous use of language as a kludge, then I would highly suggest you head on over there. It's a pointless waste of time. It's pretty much the first article they have listed over there. It's pretty fun to see some of them. I actually want to print one of them out just to give my dad or something like that, because I think that'd be kind of cool. Alright, I think that about wraps up the tech tidbits section for today. We do have a couple little blips on the radar in the caffeinated bits section. We have, three little things. Spicy theme vodka for a cause, which I actually just thought was awesome. It's a limited theme vodka. Now, this is the first time that Absolut is actually going to be naming a flavor of vodka for a city. And it took them a little while to do this, I guess, but it's a great idea. They're creating a new flavor. It's mango with black pepper. So I guess it's a little bit fruity with a little bit of spice in there. And it's all to benefit New Orleans, to benefit the rebuilding of what was lost. So it says, in estimation, they're going to make around $2 million of this that's going to be directly donated to the cause. They're doing a limited run, so there's only going to be 350,000 cases. Yeah, the limited run, right? But 350,000 cases. And the really cool part, this is, I guess, one of the reasons why I want to buy two bottles, one bottle to drink and the other one to keep. There's actually the Absolut New Orleans bottle is going to have a red and silver harmonica on it, which is really cool. And I would just love to have that around the house. And I can't wait to actually taste that kind of vodka. But just sounds kind of cool. So, yeah, just wanted to pass that along to people out there. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah, there's a video up from energyfiend.com. It's a gentleman attempting to visit all 171 Starbucks located within Manhattan in 24 hours. He made around 18 bathroom stops. He spent $369.14, which included an $80 bribe for some reason, and bought 50 caffeinated drinks, 27 pieces of biscotti, 24 bottles of water, 12 cookies, and one Asian sesame pasta dish. So if you have the time, it's around 11 minutes long. So far, I was half into it before I started the show. I realized, you know what, I really have to get on the stick here and get this show up and out. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, wow, that's a really nice, neat, new, fresh idea. Apparently not. If I do remember correctly, and I'm going to have to look through the past show notes to find this out, but last year there were actually two reporters in Boston who did the same thing and attempted to run a marathon in between all of them. So this has kind of a tongue-in-cheek element to it, but there's 171 Starbucks in a 23-square-mile area. That is more than market saturation. I don't know how lazy they think people are, but I'd be willing to walk a couple blocks for a cup of coffee. I don't need it shoved down my throat. I don't need to be right there on it. And speaking of coffee, and that is what I am wont to do on this podcast from time to time, I was treated to what is possibly the freshest cup of coffee that I have ever had. And where did I find it? Well, it was in my own kitchen. But even more so, when we were at Rice's Market, which is the flea market that we went to. It's in PA. It's a little bit west of New Hope, if you're familiar with the area. But if not, don't worry. Fear not. I will allow you to find a way to get this stuff yet. But I was walking through the stalls, and wife and the boy were with me, and there was a coffee stand set up that was giving away free shots of coffee. I was like, okay, this is a fun little thing. This is a fun little thing to try. I need a little jolt to get me going. And it was actually from a place called the Coffee Scoop LLC, and it's a fair trade organic coffee roaster, and it's local to the area. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I mean, I'm all for fair trade coffee. We just got the giant French roasted fair trade coffee from Sam's Club. So I figured, I did support the big man already. Might as well support the little guy. Let's see how this stuff tastes. Oh my sweet lord. This stuff is possibly the sweetest, cleanest, smoothest coffee that I have ever laid tongue upon. It was one of those things where it was a damn near a religious experience, actually drinking this stuff. I was like, all right, it's just going to be coffee. And I braced myself for the bitter that was going to hit. I was like, this is going to be a little bit bitter. And, I don't ever put anything in my coffee anyway, black. Always, no cream, no sugar, nothing, for 90% of the time that I drink coffee. And so I guess I've grown accustomed to incredibly bad coffee when you drink your coffee black all the time. So I was unbelievably and pleasantly surprised when it was probably the sweetest, cleanest, clearest cup of coffee I've ever had. So I just wanted to give you the actual address there. So it's www.freshcoffeescoop.com, and I actually did purchase some of a pound of their coffee. It's the Sumatran varietal. They have coffee from all different places around the world, and they have it shipped in green. So basically, it's not roasted yet. If you were to try and grind it and drink it at this point, it would taste incredibly nasty. They grind it on site whenever you order it. So I was looking around their website, and I'm going to contact them to let them know that how much I enjoyed their stuff. But at the same point in time, I checked on the back. I guess I didn't understand exactly how fresh it was. They actually had the date it was roasted. So the coffee that I drank yesterday when I got home was actually roasted 2 days before. It was roasted on either the 18th or 19th. I can't remember off the top of my head. So it's unbelievably and spectacularly fresh. So you should really give it a shot. I mean, if you're not even going to go to their website, if you're going to go to a different one, just see if you can find a local roaster that is actually going to roast when you order the beans. I know Coffee Fool's one of them, but this is freshcoffeescoop.com. Let me just make sure I got that right. Yeah, www.freshcoffeescoop.com. So you should check that out if you get a chance. rather reasonably priced coffees for what they are. They are a definite small batch roaster. So wonderful. Thought I'd pass it along. Like to support people in the area, you know what I mean? So, and you gotta love supporting the fair trade and organic trade as well. So, hey, congratulations, guys. You make a great cup of coffee. You roast a good bean. But, alright, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. This has been a fun episode. I've enjoyed it. Even with the babble at the end, we didn't even reach 50 minutes. That has to be a new record. I guess we're getting back towards the old time frame, which is always good. So, if you are listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, or if somebody happened to have gifted you with an MP3 of this wonderful show, this is the Caffeination Podcast, which is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, if you'd like to head on over to myspace.com/caffeination, you can find our page there and join in on the fun. We're also, if you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, by anything other than carrier pigeon, you can email it to caffeination@gmail.com. And last but certainly not least, our phone number to leave us a voicemail. If you're in the continental United States, you can even use the call me button, is 215-240-1319. A wonderful computer will pick up and allow you to leave a message, and that's always fun. So we'd just like to thank everybody again out there for listening to this show. You are what makes this show so special. Thank you, audience. Thank you, everybody, again. So thanks for listening, people, and stay caffeinated.